Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers, we are playing as Sir Croakington, and we are in the village of Ebmark, which is on the shore of Lake Ebrek. Whose fishing trade we fixed by putting a thing on a statue, somehow. I guess it's magic. Anyhow, we're doing the adventure called The Prisoner of Thal Berwick. One of three men, a fisherman named Hobmere, continues to relate the account that initially drew your attention. You listen intently as he describes an encounter he had with three of the creatures near Hawkwest Island only 4 days ago. Let us begin. Well, relaxing in the beast's den, having settled into a relatively quiet corner of the tavern's bustling common room, your interest is piqued when you hear several men making mention of Tarzil. The men seem initially surprised when you approach and ask to join them, but they quickly welcome you by fetching a chair and setting you up with a frothing flagon. One of the three men, a fisherman named Hobmere, continues to relate the account that initially drew your attention. You listen intently as he describes an encounter he had with three Tarzil near Hawkwest Island only 4 days ago. Hobmere says that he was heading back to the dock after a long day out on the lake when he swung past the western shore of Hawkwest Island. One of the men from his crew, a lad named Eldmiddin, cried out in alarm and pointed out a trio of red-scaled reptilians making their way along one of the isle's steep bank. Of course, they'd had an eye for all of us and slipped off into the woods, he says, shrugging. Fine with me. Prefer not to get tangled up in anything like that. Wonder what they're up to. I don't know that anyone wants to go poking around out on the island to find out. Well, maybe you would. Hobbier and the others seem to be waiting for you to give some sort of response to what the fisherman just said. Before you afford a chance to do that, the tavern door busts open and a boisterous crew of four, well known to Hobbier, move in and claim a spot in the vicinity of the den's crackling blaze. Use the opportunity to slip away from the table and make your way outside. Standing outside of the tavern, in the waning light of the overcast late afternoon, you pore over what you just learned while speaking with Hobmere and his associates. According to the fisherman's tale, he and his crew spotted three Tarzil sulking about on Hawkwest Island only 4 days ago. Though you have no way to truly ascertain the veracity of this story, you have little reason to doubt the account. You decide the best course of action is to make your way out to the island and investigate for yourself. To search for any evidence of the Tarzor on Hawkwest Island, select Make Your Way to Yusana's Hut option 1, Edmark, and use her boat to reach the island. Yes, and Yusana is someone we helped out. Make your way to Yusana's Hut. At the edge of Lake Edmark, on the northeast outskirts of Lake Ebrek, on the northeast outskirts of Edmark, scans the ramshackle hut of Yulisinia, a woman better known to the townsfolk as Woodfoot. The rotting wooden hovel, perched on a mossy bank only a few feet from the lapping waters of the lake, seems utterly unfit for habitation. A grimy piece of tattered cloth hangs across the doorway, and a steady stream of smoke pours out of the leaning chimney that seems precariously perched on the roof. A sturdy rowboat rests on the stony lake shore, not far from the hut. Yusina was told you to use the boat whenever you wish to. Does anything happen to a visit, Yusina? Yeah, okay, I drink some palo, but I think nothing seems to have changed here. Okay, take the boat to Hawkwest Island. In Yusina's sturdy boat, you made exhausting but successful crossing of Lake Ebrek and arrive safely on the stony shore of Hawkwest Island. Hawkwest Island, a hilly, thickly forested swath of land rising out of the centre of Lake Ebrek, is larger than you initially imagined. Though barely visible from the lake's jagged shores, the island is a truly massive, untamed wilderness that is, at every turn, both beautiful and perilous. You see, in this sturdy craft, which you'd hauled up onto nearby stony beach, provides you with a swift and reliable passage to and from the isle. I'm going to explore Hawkwest Island to see where those Tazawa are. Alright. I'm just going to explore randomly and see if something turns up. Nothing of particular interest. Nothing. Yep. Man, that's nothing. Nothing. Okay. Three more times. And then. Two. Three. Suddenly. Good. Just before. We found them just before I was going to give up. Well, you explore the places we've already discovered and then go back to just exploring at random. While exploring the southern side of the island, you spot a lone Tazor slithering along through the forest, only a few dozen yards ahead. Concealed behind the trunk of a stout ash, you watch as the red-scaled amphibian, its yellow eyes warily scouring the forest, moves with surprising speed and grace as it deftly navigates the rugged woodland terrain. Suddenly, the Tazawa alters its course and begins slithering your direction. Despite the change in direction, you remain confident the sinister creature has not yet spotted you. In a matter of moments, the Tazawa will pass with only a few feet of you. Well, obviously, I'm going to attack it, because it's a Tazal, and as far as I know, they're all bad. I mean, theoretically, there could be a good Tazal, but they'll presumably stay in the realms deep in the Nevelus where they're native to. Because they wouldn't want to invade places. Okay. Attack to Tazal as it passes, with Tazal drawing perilously close to the tree behind which you're hidden. You hurriedly determine a course of action. So can use archery, elementalism, telekinesis, illusion, ambush the Tazal, or decide against attacking the Tazal. So, Well, anyone but the last one, they're all options. So once again, I shall be going to random.org. You know, just so it can be chosen truly at random, and then it's quite unlikely that I'll have the same option that things will turn out the same as when Zoop did it. So number from 1 to 5. Number 1, we're using archery. Succeeded. 8 XP to archery. Concealed in the forest's lush foliage, you silently draw your bow. Notch an arrow, taking careful aim at the approaching Tarzor. As the reptilian emerges from behind a leaning oak, you release your shot, sending the arrow plunging into the creature's left shoulder. As the Tarzor thrashes about, struggling to remove the shaft, skewering its scaled flesh, you rush forward and attack, determined to press your advantage. Despite having gained the initial upper hand, Tarzor proves a wild and dangerous foe who's also very angry. The savage sounds of battle ring through the forest as you struggle to counter the scimitar-wielding reptilian's vicious assault. As a red-scaled Tarzor, I can subdue it. Well, have a rule. When you can subdue, you do. That's a rule I have. So I will. Maybe it can, very hard to tell genders with snakes, so subdue. Tarzor slashes at you with his scimitar. Keep going. And subdued. 13 XP, which Tarzor hopelessly pinned beneath me jumping on it. You boldly question the battered reptilian, demanding to know what he and his ilk are doing on the island. His initial reluctance to answer you rapidly melts away as you grow yourself bigger and heavier. Or something like gasping and wheezing with your... Grasping, wheezing, squeezing down on it more and more as you get heavier and heavier. He tells you that he and nearly 36 other Tarzor came over here seeking the ruins of an ancient tower. You listen carefully as Tarzor, obviously fearing for his own life, reveals to you the location of the tower. The crumbling structure sits in the midst of a bog on the western side of the island. To reach the fallen tower in the bog described to you by Tarzor, select a fallen tower from the list of previously discovered locations for Hawkwest Island. You would be wise to leave here, he rasps, struggling to draw breath as you shift even more of your weight onto the foot, pressing onto his... as you grow yourself just a little bit heavier. I do not say this as a threat. It's merely sound advice. You realise that leaving Tarzor alive could potentially prove dangerous. He's almost certain to warn his cohorts about you as soon as he can manage it. So I have two options. Kill the Tarzor, which means it's guaranteed not to cause a problem because of the whole dead thing. Unless, of course, there's a necromancer around, in which case it will definitely cause a problem. Because that's just what happens. Or when just Tarzor unconscious, which will mean, yeah, it'll probably become conscious again, but I'll be long gone by then. Render the Tarzor unconscious. Sharp blow to the back of the reptilian's broad ridge skull immediately renders him unconscious. You step back from Tarzor's unmoving body and exhale sharply. After quickly checking over your equipment and taking a moment to gather your bearings, you once again set off on your way, eager to locate and investigate the ruins in the bog on the western side of the isle. To reach the ruined tower in the bog described to you by Tarzor, select a fallen tower from your list of previously discovered locations for Hawkwest Island. This island sure does have a lot of stuff going on in it, really. But I guess you can do that when you're text-based. You could just say, there's more stuff, because I wrote it down. Because when you have to, you know, draw things, it's a little bit harder. Return to previously discovered location, Fallen Tower. So we got 6 locations so far in Hawkwest Island. Admittedly, most of them only don't have that much to them. You just use one item or find an item. Not much going on. But anyway, a Fallen Tower. Following the directions given to you by Sadazar you encountered, you make your way to the western side of the island, and it doesn't take you long to locate the bog described the Reptilian, and only a short while after venturing into the tangled mire, you find yourself approaching the scattered ruins of an ancient tower. You're standing in the thick, tangled mist of a bog on the western side of Hawkwest Island. Less than 30 yards to the north lie the scattered, crumbling ruins of an ancient tower. Only part of the outer wall surrounding the tower's ground level remains standing, the once imposing structure. Its size determined by the immense moss-covered blocks now littering the surrounding mire, appears to have been recently frequented by Tarzal. The broad, telltale trails left in the soft, wet earth by the sinister reptilian's scaled underbellies completely cover the immediate area. Near the centre of the ruins, a wide set of steps descend into the lower reaches of the tower, and presumably, in there, Tishazal are doing something bad, because they're Tishazal. And they're always doing bad things, or at least the ones that come over here. Oh dear, that sounds quite bigoted. Sorry to any Tazal that are listening to this. Climb down the stairs. You're standing at the bottom of a steep set of steps that leads up and out of the underground portion of the ruined tower. Torches and lamps, recently affixed to the walls at infrequent intervals, cast their dim, flickering light in patches, though their glow is not enough by which to safely navigate these ancient passages. Suddenly, before you've quite had a chance to get your bearings, a trio of armoured Tazal surge out of the shadows gathered at the edge of your light. The vicious, red-scaled reptilians, each wielding a broad-bladed scimitar, hiss wildly as they slither forward and attack in unison. 3 red-scaled Tazal, let's take them down. They slash at you with their scimitars. I club at them with my club. Savage blow for 6 damage. Smash the wallops them. They are slain. 21 XP. A quick search of the 3 slain Tazal reveals only their scimitars to be worthy of attention. 3 scurdy scimitars, I'll take them and sell them later. Thankful to have survived the attack, you make certain nothing else is lurking in nearby gloom before preparing to begin your exploration of the tower ruins. Okay, I'm in a little rectangle. I seem to be closer to the west side of the dungeon, along the east side of the rectangle. You're standing at the bottom of a steep set of stairs that leads up and out of the underground portion of the ruined tower. Torches and lamps, recently affixed to the walls at infrequent intervals, cast their dim, flickering light in patches, though their glow is not enough by which to safely navigate these ancient passages. Okay, I'm going to make my way clockwise around this rectangle. Alright, keep going. Alright, got to the opposite side. In the northwest corner of this rectangle is a something. You're at the top of a set of winding steps that descend into the underground level of the ruined tower. That seems to be the only way to go anywhere, so I'll do that. Descend the stairs. You're at the bottom of a set of winding steps that climb to the underground level of the ruined tower, closer to the surface. I'm in a square. You're startled by the sudden appearance of a scimitar-wielding Tazarl several yards ahead along the passage. The red-scaled reptilian's gaze immediately falls upon you, and the creature starts in your direction. Its sharp senses echoing off the walls as it rapidly closes in. It says, Tazarl, best us begin combat! Slashes with its scimitar and is slain. 13 XP. A quick search of the fallen Tazarl reveals only the sinister reptilian scimitar. It's not even good. With no desire to linger here, you promptly set off along the passage. Right west a bit. A ring of engraved images adorns the floor here. The images depict a mountain, a sword, a dragon, a shield, a helm, a star and a moon. What happens if I step onto the engraved ring? You step onto the wing. After several moments, nothing seems to have happened. You step back. Okay, that's presumably a link to a puzzle somewhere in this dungeon. Alright, to the northwest part of this square. You're at the top of a set of winding stairs that descend into a lower underground level of the ruined tower. Descend the stairs. You're at the bottom of a set of winding steps that climb up to underground level of the wounded tower closer to the surface. So it says, oh, just going to quick combat it. And a well-crafted scimitar, which I will take. These are just random encounters. And west, this is another stairs to go down. Alright, and then I go east. For more stairs to go down. There's something to it. I'm in a big square, but someone took a chunk out of the northeast corner. I'm along the north side, the northwest side. There's something. A ring of engraved images adorns the floor here. The images depict a mountain, a sword, a dragon, a shield, a helm, a star and a moon. Step onto an engraved wings. Nope, nothing seems to happen. Alright, going south. The eerie stillness of the dimly lit passage is shattered by the sudden and sharp clattering of metal plates. You instinctively draw yourself into defensive stance as an arm of Tazarl appears out of the gathered gloom ahead. The sinister, red-scale creature immediately surges towards you and attacks, hissing wildly as it brandishes its deadly scimitar. It's an armored Tazarl. Begin combat! Tazarl slashes at you with his scimitar. Okay. The smasher wallops it. It is slain. 13 XP. And another well-crafted scimitar. You search the bloodied remains of your armoured foe and discover only the vicious reptilian's deadly scimitar. I mean, it was armoured, but I assume the armour just is completely broken and worthless. After checking over your gear, you once again set off along the corridor. Alright, going south. I'm on the southern side. You can descend more stairs. Alright, I'm on the eastern side. A diamond-shaped depression set into the centre of an iron plate affixed to the northern wall in this section of the corridor. Several arcane symbols are engraved along the edge of the plate. Maybe if I use Arcania? No. Maybe Lore? No. Feathery? No. Okay, it doesn't seem to be anything I can do there. Another random Tazarl, quick combat, 13 XP, and terrible loot. Another Tazarl, quick combat, 13 XP, terrible loot. Keep going, okay. Gonna take the stairs even further down. There's another random combat. Descend the stairs. Alright, yeah. Okay, this is a bit more mazy, this section. It's an armored Tazarl, quick combat. 13 XP and a sturdy scimitar. Another armored Tazarl. Another 13 XP in a well-crafted scimitar. Another Tazal. This one drops another well-crafted scimitar. Alright, they're going to sell for a bit. Armor Tazal. Common scimitar, leave that be. Okay, I've got into the very southwest corner of this dungeon. A ring of engraved images adorns the floor here. The image depict mountain, sword, dragon, shield, home, star, and a moon. Step onto the engraved wings. Nothing happens. Alright, and in the southwest corner of this section of the dungeon. Alright, and another couple of random Tazal. Reach 13 XP. Oh, and there's another set of stairs that descend here. Rogue Tazal. Clutches you his clawed hands. That was a random encounter. 7 XP. Oh, wait. A quick search of the Rogue Tazal's corpse turns up a square copper medallion, still swinging from the neck of the slain creature. Believing this medallion may somehow prove useful, you promptly take possession of it as a square copper medallion. Armour for your neck is an encumbrance of 1. You discover this square copper medallion around the Rogue Tazal you killed. Well, the neck of a Rogue Tazal you killed in the underground ruins of the ancient town Hawkwest Island. The medallion hangs onto a thick iron chain. Without further delay, you warily set off along the passage. I think that will do something somewhere. Armor Tazal, quick combat, 13 XP, well-crafted scimitar. There's a lot of scimitars around here. I think if I go north, then up the stairs, the Tazal, quick combat, sturdy scimitar. Ascend the stairs. Right, in the square with a chunk out of it. Diamond shaped impression. Okay. Let's use. Use the thing we just got. Square copper medallion, use 32 XP. You rotate your square copper medallion and place it into the diamond shaped impression. From somewhere off in the distance, you can hear the sound of pulsing energy reaches your ears. The strange noise swiftly rises in pitch, before abruptly falling silent. Okay, that's done something somewhere. Alright, gonna keep exploring down the stairs again. And then down some more stairs. I'm just gonna get to them first. 13 XP from another Tazal. Descend the stairs. Okay, I'm now in a southern subfragment. It's a large area, this one. I'm gonna go north from that. You're standing at what appears to be the cell for holding prisoners. The heavy iron bars that seal off the cell. The cell from the corridor outside have long since decayed into ruin. The rusted remnants of the metal barrier are heaped upon the threshold. In all the sacks centered the cell, flush with the floor. is engraved upon dark stone, the carved stone square. It's nearly 2 feet across. Head back west. Okay, then going north. Another wing. Okay. It's another. The wing of engraved images adorns the floor here. The images engraved upon the mountain. Mountain, a map mountain, a sword, a dragon, a silver. A shield, a helm, a star, and a moon. Step onto engraved wing. Nothing happens here. Alright, and nothing. Okay, leave the area. Okay, go to the east. Then it goes south. Ah, but Tazar, just gonna quick combat that. Get a common scimitar, which is not even worth looking at. Right, and going east. Formidable barrier, head west. Okay, I'm gonna. Okay, backpack, I'm gonna explore. I'm making my way back to a place I've already been, Armored Tazal. My Tazal has appeared, quick combat. It is slain, 13 XP and a sturdy scimitar. Alright, quick combat, ascend. Keep going. Great wing, doesn't do anything. Wait a minute. You suddenly notice the square copper medallion in your possession seems quite warm. Okay. Okay, that's okay, looking, I'm gonna look at the medallion. Alright, square copper medallion. I had something. And use it. Okay, send the square. Send diamond again. Alright. Just exploring at random. Alright, now to the. Okay, now to explore an area. We haven't been. Ascend the squares. Ascend the squares. Okay, now I'm going to a new place. My stuff is happening. Alright, something. Armor Tazal. I think I'm not making sense of this place. Something. Blah, blah, blah. I can't understand this place. Blah blah blah. Ascend the squares. Blah 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 blah. Ascent squares. Okay. I don't understand this place. Map overview.
You know how to book flights and hotels.
All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I go back. I don't know. God. Oh, I don't understand this place. Okay, did something, but who knows? Okay, I'm just gonna randomly explore. Descend the stairs. Okay, and explore. Descend the squares. Okay, I'm gonna go back to the places we've already been. Descend the stairs. Okay, descend the squares. Oh, I'm gonna pause it until we get back to where we just been. We had a little break for a while, but we're back now. We're in the southern section of the dungeon, where I'm currently at. A stone lever protrudes from a vertical slot in the north wall of this section of the corridor. The lever has been pulled down. Let's pull it up. You pull the lever, stone lever, up as far as it goes. From somewhere nearby, you hear the unmistakable sound of stone grating on stone. So something's been opened, or something's been closed. Oh, and it'll be here. A massive slab of iron spans the entirety of the passage before you. A close examination of the slab reveals it must somehow slide onto the floor. Small heaps of rusted metal fragments heaped along the base of the slab lead you to believe the formidable barrier was recently moved. Okay. Okay, let's pull the lever again. Sound of stone grating on stone. Does anything happen? Okay, I think I might have to do more things. Okay, I'm in the southern section. Let's ascend the stairs. Okay, northeast of the stairs, up from the southern section, you're standing in what appears to be a cell for holding prisoners. Heavy iron bars seal off the cell from the corridor outside, long since descending into ruin. The rusted remnants of a metal barrier. Barrier lie heaped across the threshold. In almost the exact centre of the cell, flush with the floor, is an engraved square of dark stone. The carved stone square is nearly 2 feet across. Doesn't seem to be anything I can do here. Alright, in the northwest part of there, it's an engraved wing. You suddenly note, you step into wing. After several moments, when nothing seems to happen, you step out. You suddenly notice the square copper medallion in your possession seems quite warm. Okay, maybe I have to step on all of those wings. And then something will happen. Okay, I'm looking for them in the southwest corner. Step onto the engraved wing. Copper medallion seems quite warm again. Okay, making my way up. Well, north, ascend the stairs. Okay, this is the area that's a square with a chunk taken out of it. Diamond shaped impression where you can use the medallion. Use it. You rotate the square copper medallion and place it into the diamond shaped impression from somewhere off in the distance. Distance, you hear the sound of pulsing energy reaching your ears. The strange noise swiftly rising in pitch before abruptly falling silence. Okay, that might have done something. Not sure. And there's an engraved wing. Alright, it seems quite warm again. Ascend the squares. Ascend the stairs to a little short corridor on the western side. Now I'm on the northeastern side. Ascend the stairs. Here's a square with there's stairs on all four corners. Descend the stairs. Okay, I ascended. There's a short corridor on the northern side. The face of a man shaped out of solid stone protrudes from the wall at the end of the corridor. The lifelike eyes carved upon the face, while unmoving, seem to follow you. A broad, friendly smile adorns the stone face. Approach the stone face. An echoing, clattering rumble of shifting stone fills the air as the expression on the stone face undergoes a rapid transformation. A hideous scowl is now affixed to the face protruding from the wall. Approach it again. Stoic expression. Broad friendly smile, hideous scowl, and back to stoic expression. And just like things being stoic. Ascend the stairs. Right in the northwest corner, descend the stairs. No, I've already been there, ascend the stairs. Alright, in the southeast corner of the little square, so you can ascend the squares. In the southwest corner, there's an engraved wing. Maybe that did something. Ascend the squares there from there, and this is the first area you come to. And then from there you can climb up and out of the tower ruins. Okay, now I'm going to quickly make my way back to the barriers. Alright, now that I've put the copper medallion into all of those engraved wings, maybe something will happen now. Alright, same thing as before. Maybe something has happened. Descend the stairs. Okay, I'm now going to make my way back to the southern section. Okay, can I get past the barrier? No, it's the same as before. What about the lever? Pull the lever up. From somewhere nearby, you hear the unmistakable sound of stone grating on stone. Right, it's pulled up. There's an engraved wing, but that does what it always does. Maybe here. Ah! Oh, this is new. On the southern side of... Alright, this is the... This is the former prison cell. And on the... Where, oh, I should just read it again. You're standing in what appears to be a cell for holding prisoners. The heavy iron bars that seal off the cell from the corridor outside have long since decayed into ruin. The rusted remnants of the metal barrier lie heaped upon the threshold. In almost the exact centre of the cell, rising out of the floor, is an engraved block of dark stone. The carved stone block is nearly 2 feet across on each of its stone block exposed sides. On the southern side of the block, you discover a small square-shaped impression. And I just happen to have found a small square thing a while back to put in it, so I will. 32 experience to general. That is a good sign. If you get XP for doing something, it's probably something you should have done. In a dungeoning sense, anyway. Admittedly, you can get XP for doing some things you probably shouldn't have done in a moral sense. If you take part in the Dire Saga and you join the Dire, you're killing a lot of people. Well, not a lot, but okay, a few people. The instant you fit the medallion into the impression, the engraved block of stone begins to tremble. After only a few moments, however, the vibrations abruptly cease. As you remove the medallion and step back from the block, a low groan, akin to the sound of metal moving across stone, echoes along the passage outside the cell. Okay, I think I can make my way further into the dungeon now. Just gonna do that. Make my way to the barrier I couldn't pass before. Yes! The formidable barrier has been lowered into the floor, allowing you to move freely along this section of the corridor. Alright, and beyond that is another little... nearly square. A series of sharp hiss erupt out of the gloom ahead, freezing you in mid-step. Quickly gathering your wits, you fall back and assume a defensive stance as 7 sword-wielding Tazals slither into view. Speaking amongst themselves in harsh tones of an unknown tongue, makes sense. I mean, why would they speak a language? Why would they speak a language I understand? They're from far, far, far away. The sinister reptilians surge swiftly forward and attack. With the echoes of his vicious hissing assailing your ears, the first of the red-scale Tazal attack, swiping out at you with his broad-bladed scimitar. Tazal 1 of 7. I swing my club, and it is slain. 13 XP. The bloodied corpse of your reptilian flows, stomps to the floor of the passage. You step forward and meet the slithering advance of the next Tazal. The sinister reptilian warrior hisses as it slashes out at you with his deadly scimitar, scimitar 2 of 7. Slashes out at you. Okay, I'm going to go through these quickly now. 13 XP. The bloody corpse of your reptilian foe slumps to the floor of the passage. Here's the next one. Number 3, you're getting the same message, deals you a savage blow for 7 damage. Oh, and I go into a battle rage. I am angry, because, I don't know, I haven't actually seen you do anything bad yet, but I assume you're going to eventually, because of racism and prior experience. Which causes my racism. You've slain your foe. 13 XP. The bloodied corpse of reptilian flows from the floor of the passage. Number 5. Savage blow. And I smash it. Tazar 6 of 7. Penultimate one. The last of the 7 Tazar is blazing yellow eyes, fixing you with an icy glare. Well, I have killed all its friends, so of course it's pissed off. Slithers forward and attacks. The Tazar slashes you, the enemy deals you a savage blow for 7 damage, and it is slain. Another 13 XP. 128 experience to general. You make a quick search through the remains of the slain Tazar and discover only their scimitars. The deadly blades were apparently the only objects in possession of the sinister reptilians. Curious. You think they would have left, I don't know, food? Whatever they have in place of money? Oh, I don't know what else. Tissues? Anyway, there's 7 scimitars. Most of them are common. They're sturdy, and well-crafted, and another sturdy. With no desire to linger here no longer than necessary, promptly set off along the corridor. Alright, I'm exploring the square. I'm in the southeast corner now. Alright, I'm in the middle of the eastern side of this part. You're standing just to the east of a small cell separated from the corridor by a line of thick iron bars. There is no grate visible anywhere along the length of formidable span. A frail, hooded figure in studded leather armour lies face down in the far corner of the cell. I'm going to rouse this figure, but I'm going to explore everything else first. Because I have a feeling this, and possibly I remember, that this will cause things to kick off. And I want to have everything explored before things kick off. Alright, the very southeast corner, nothing there. Alright, and there's a little alcove. Alcove in the northwest corner of the square that points back towards... Back towards the part where the lever was. There was nothing there. Well, at least, not now. Maybe there'll be something later. And I heal myself. Okay. Let's browse this figure, because well, it's there. Maybe this figure can explain what's going on. Attempt to rouse the figure. As you step towards the iron bars, the square copper medallion in your possession suddenly trembles. Oh, what a useful thing to have. Thin arcs of blue energy leap between the bars for several moments before abruptly vanishing. The hooded figure lying at the back of the cell slowly raises its head and turns to look in your direction. Your heart nearly skips a beat when you catch sight of the face staring out at you from beneath the folds of the bulky hood. It is the emancipated, fur-clad face of a Catamaroc. Now, in case you you're not familiar enough with this to know what a Catamaroc is, here's the lore book entry. Catamaroc. These wicked humanoids, found in several of the deeper realms of the Nevernus, have the head, hands, feet, and tail of a cat. The Catamaroc are nimble, clever, and cruel, and do not tolerate other species, except as slaves. Catamaroc are immune to the effects of nearly all non-magical fire, and they have the ability to ignite themselves at will, making themselves both fearsome and dangerous in the eyes of any would-be foe. Now, because of how the battle system works, that's not reflected in fights, the immune to nearly all non-magical fire thing. Or at least I don't think it is. Master Catamaroc warriors are said to have 9 lives and are believed to grow in power with each of their new incarnations. And we saw one of those when we were getting the Tome of Ancient Lore, something like that. Anyway, we get the tome that had various little bits you could go to empower yourself. and we had to kill a cat and walk 9 times to get it. You think on the 9th time it went, oh, wait a minute, this is serious. Whee! And then run away. But it didn't. Probably because of pride. It is believed that these scheming and warlike cat beings control vast empires in several of the countless realms of the Neverless. Waggy gasps echoes out of the passage as the hooded catamog slowly draws itself into a seated position against the far wall. The cat-like humanoid, his tattered armour spattered with dry blood, regards you with a cold, calculating gaze that serves to set your nerve on edge. When he suddenly speaks, however, the soft tone of his voice, lending vibrance to a language utterly foreign to you, conveys a gentle bearing that his sinister visage could never hope to elate. When he apparently realises you cannot understand what he's saying, he repeats himself in your tongue. Well, that's convenient. Very convenient that he learnt my Sir Croakington's language. I imagine that Sir Croakington's language is actually different than English, because, you know, thousands of years of different history, different geology, everything's different, so I'd imagine the language is different, but we just conveniently interpreted as English because that's the language the GM knows, and by extension the language that all the players know, and probably quite a lot of them know exclusively. Doing here? He asks. You shouldn't be here. They'll kill you when they find you. You learn that the Catawok, who introduced himself as Kamorek, is a mage who hails from another world. A realm buried deep within the shadowy recesses of the Neverless. He tells you he was recently captured by a rival mage, a Tazar named Gragonok. And that he was brought here, to your world, into the ruins of this ancient tower. Gragonok is an old foe. He seeks to obtain an item of great power that was long ago hidden in this place, he says. And he's forced me, used my power to that end. This tower, what's left of it, is one of several identical spires that exists across a myriad of worlds and realms. You are standing in what remains of Thalbwerek, or such is the name by which we know it. Responding to Kamorek's inquiry, you introduce yourself, then ask you about the object Gragonok is seeking. It is a book, he says, and the acquisition of it would have serious consequences here, while on my world the result catastrophic. Gragonok is power hungry, vicious, and hateful. In the world from which I hail, we are running out of the strength required to fight him and his reptilian horde. The book he is after conceals an ancient magic which Gragonok seeks to wield against his enemies. His acquisition of it will, with all certainty, prove our undoing. Having at last discovered the reason that there are Tazar prowling the island, we inquire about the unbroken line of iron bars separating Kalkanrock's cell from the passage. He tells you the barrier is magical, as created by Gragonok. His magic is very powerful, he says. I cannot hope to dispel it. Only by his will or his death. Can it be undone? I'm leaning towards the latter. You learn that Kamorek was captured while defending a pivotable stronghold on his home world against a raid led by the minions of Gragonok. For nearly a week he's been a prisoner of the Tyzelian mage, forced to utilize his mastery of ancient lore to assist Gragonok in locating these ruins. deciphering their ancient clues, revealing their long-hidden secret. "I'm not afraid to admit I was broken," he says. "I won't pretend to be any sort of hero. There's nothing heroic about what I've done. But I did what I needed to do to ensure the safety of those near to me, though I fear the worst may already have befallen them. Even before I struck so abhorrent a bargain, what is there I can do now? Gorgonok will soon possess the book, and the worst will be upon us. And I've played no small part in birthing the resulting calamity. Those dearest to me, and those I will never know, will suffer because of what I endeavoured to do to protect them. It was a bargain I should have never made, and one I would again make 1,000 times more. I understand. When those you love are threatened, you want to make them safe. Even if, ultimately, it's just a delaying tactic. Clearly distressed, the catamwok, breathing rapidly, closes his eyes and begins to shake. As quickly as the unsettling spasms began, however, they suddenly cease. He opens his eyes and fixes you with an intense gaze. "My own nightmare is likely to soon be over. Brings me no relief," he says. His soft, gentle tone and abrupt departure from the frantic voice echo through the corridor only a moment ago. Sorry, I didn't make the voice sound frantic. "Gorgonok will find the book for which he's searching. For this is Thalberek, the undiscovered stronghold of Sporek. The last steward of the first strand." Well, that sounds like a really grand title. And it is some great lore that is gone. "Berek's tome is here. When it is found, Gorgonok will have no further use for me. I don't fear what awaits me at his hands. Only what is his I will leave behind. Back home, unprotected." You ask Kamagorok, it was too late to try to stop Gorgonok from attaining the book. The catamwok seems surprised by your bold inquiry. He seems to give your question considerable thought before shrugging. "I cannot say with any certainty," he said. "Had he already found the book, he would certainly have returned to finish me. I am something he cannot afford to leave behind. However hopeless I might find myself here, if it is not yet too late, and wish to try and stop him, you must do so at once, for going after him may prove somewhat difficult. Kalamorek tells you that Gorgonok recently succeeded in unlocking the deepest level of Thalberek. He and his group of deadliest minions swiftly descended into the lowest reaches of the stronghold to continue their search for the book. Suddenly, the catamwok rage, who seems to have regained at least a small portion of his strength, stares wared-eyed at the copper medallion in his possession. He promptly asks how you acquired it. "Gorgonok has one like it," he says as you step closer, allowing a better look at the medallion. "It's the very object he used to unlock the lowest level. Skolof Mir, one of the mages in his company, also had one. I found them here in the fortress. I'm left to assume Skolof Mir has at last had justice meted out to him." Okay, I guess that's who the robed mage was. "When you described for Kamorek, the robed Hazar you slew to acquire the medallion," he nods. "Then Skolof Mir is dead," he says. "If circumstances were a little different, this would be a cause for celebration. I can think of very few of the Reptilians, Gorgonok excluded, more deserving of death. And perhaps more important than that, you have what you need to follow him. Kalkomet tells you that Gargamak somehow used the medallion in conjunction with a set of 7 stone dials to unlock the lowest level. Level Tharborek. You learned as a Zal Mage, again called upon the Katamok's mastery of law and Arcania to solve the riddle posed by the dials. Listen carefully, he says, his voice wavering as his breathing becomes ragged. I do not know where he will find the dials, but they are somewhere below us. Here is how they must be set, from left to right. Dragon, dragon, moon, helm, shield, moon, star. You commit to memory the settings for the 7 dials. Well, that's handy. You will automatically recall what Kalkomet has told you at the appropriate time. Now, that is a convenience. Because it would be really annoying if you got to the thing and you forgot what to set the dials to. So obviously your guy remembers it because, you know, he knows it's important. Or she knows it's important in Sir Crokinson's case. Kalkomet takes an unsteady step backwards and nearly collapses, setting himself by placing his hand on a wall. The Kalkomet mage urges you to hurry if you seek to prevent Gargamak from acquiring the book. There is a lever at the end of the passage. North of here, he says, slumping into a seated position against the back wall of the cell. I've heard them make mention of it. I believe that pulling it will reveal stairs that descend even deeper into these halls. Somewhere down below you will find the dials. Remember the sequence I've given you, and I will. Using what remains of his fading voice, Kalkomet issues you a stark warning. If you go after Gargamak, you must be prepared to kill him. Oh, I am, he says. He will give you no quarter, and expects none from his enemies. A moment's hesitation on your part will be all he will ever need. If you value your life, believe nothing of what he says. You ask Kalkomet how you will recognize Gargamak. Yes, of course, he says, his voice growing weaker. He wields a large axe, a terrible weapon. His fire has claimed the lives of many of my kin. Believe me, Sir Crokington, you will not mistake him when you have the misfortune of encountering him. Yes. Kalkomet falls silent and his eyes close. His chest continues to rise and fall, but you sense the Kalkomet has slipped into a semi-conscious state. You make several attempts to rouse him, but he only grumps in response. Okay, let's let him rest. Because, well, that's the best we can do right now. Maybe, I think, once Gargamak is done with, presumably we'll be able to get him out of here, and then maybe he'll somehow be able to make his way back home. And presumably, from there, he'll be able to work at disbanding whatever. What the various petty warlords that presumably try to inherit tiny little fragments of the army that Gargamak has gone, and you'd be able to deal with them one at a time, because it'll be some sort of, I'm imagining it'll be a repeat of the Dadrachi that happened after Alexander, where the Empire was split into several large sections which constantly were at war with each other, and to eventually Rome conquered, Rome subjugated them, or at least what was left of them. imagining that would happen. Something like that would happen, and he'll be able to, and his people would be able to handle what is left. And then they'll, well, I don't know what happened. I know nothing of the political context of his homeland, other than that Gargamak is being a dick. Your thoughts now are now bent on finding the Tsar mage known as Gargamak, and seeking him from preventing him from acquiring the book he has come to Thalbrek speaking. You offer silent prayer for the Catamarok's safety, before turning and setting off along the corridor. According to what Carmark has revealed to you, you'll find a lever somewhere at the northern end of this passage. Okay, now look, we've passed an hour by quite a margin, and this seems like a pretty good place to stop. All right, we now know the stakes. We know who the bad guy is. We know what the plan is. We know what we gotta do. So yeah, this seems like a good place to stop. So obviously in the next episode, we'll go further down, unlock the dungeon, fight Gargamak, save the world of Swift from quite a lot of problems, and Camorex world from utter doom. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.